then, O thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy
where I wanna serve my Lord. I found my Jesus.
Amen. Have you found your Jesus? I thank you, Jesus, that we have found you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Well, welcome. Here we are in almost Thanksgiving. Now, next week, the big day where people eat turkey. Well, hopefully they're doing more than eat turkey. They're giving thanks to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. That's what really counts. We want to glorify the name of the Lord always and give him thanks every day that he gives us breath in our lungs and that our heart beats and we're alive in Christ. What a joy that is to know Jesus. I'm thanking God for him that we are free in him. All right. So, welcome to the evening broadcast today. We're glad you're here. It's Friday again. So we're going to open up with a little bit of news as we start out. Hopefully something you find interesting tonight. Target stores shun Christian shopping and lures gay pride strategist in. Yeah, they shun Christian shoppers and they lure gay pride strategist to work in their company to run things, kind of strategize things. The Minnesota-based corporation retail giant now offers woke Christmas decorations, including a black Santa on Santa Claus or Satan Claus on in a wheel chair, also a figurine wearing both a pride hat and a pride flag. I mean, Target is letting you know where they stand at. I don't know if you have a Target where you live, but, yeah, we have one, and I'm disappointed. Hopefully they don't put that junk in this anyway. Oregon realizes legalizing hard drugs was a big mistake since it went into effect. Substance abuse and crime has not gone down at all. It's not gone up. And so most voters, they want this measure repealed, and they're calling for a reintroduction of criminal penalties for users of these hard drugs. Well, you know what? Sin doesn't work. You know, if people think that sin is going to bring them lasting fulfillment and happiness, they are deceived by the devil. And certainly Oregon was deceived in legalizing hard drugs, thinking that was going to help something. Not helping. Famed atheist and Muslim woman does an about-face and embraces Christianity. That's right. She was a former Muslim and a famous atheist woman. And she says the only credible answer is Christianity. That's Ayan Hirshi Ali is her name. And she says, you know, I have turned toward Christianity because that I found life without a spiritual solace unendurable, indeed very nearly self-destructive, she said. She also said atheism failed to answer a simple question, what is the meaning and purpose of life? Yeah, well, that sounds like two questions, but okay. Yeah, she had been a fierce critic of her former Muslim faith and a strong advocate for women, making international headlines for her commentary and her work. But I'm pretty sure the Muslims must want to get rid of her now. She's become a Christian and because she was, you know, speaking against their religion that they hold so highly, with used for all types of violence and whatever. So, anyway, that's thank God that she came out of atheism and the Muslim religion and became a Christian. Praise the Lord for her. FBI accused of targeting agents who supported and support President Trump, deeming these veterans as disloyal and trying to force them off out of the bureau, according to whistleblowers. Yeah, well, yeah, it's trying to go totally woke, I guess. I don't know. But Left Behind author, Jerry B. Jenkins, says pre-rapture end times prophecies have been fulfilled, so be ready to go anytime. Well, you know, he and LaHaye co-authored the 16 books on Left Behind. LaHaye has passed away. But very deceived and deceiving many people to not prepare for what's ahead, because they're going to get out of it all and go sit in heaven at a big party while the earth people all suffer horribly during the tribulation. I'm sorry. That's not the way things are going to happen at all. That's not what the Bible teaches. And people who think that's what the Bible teaches are thinking wrong, and they will find out when they're still here. They got left behind, all right. Nobody went. The Bible speaks of one second coming of Christ, and that's after the tribulation of those days. The Lord will come in the clouds of glory, and every eye will see him. And the wicked will cry for the rocks to fall upon them. They can't stand seeing him. But we'll go and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Praise the Lord for that. Well, anyway, church in Scotland silences a bell that has run for 200 years following one single noise complaint about the bell. Now, that's all it took, is one little complaint to get rid of the bell that has rung for 200 years. Well, the city is, a lot of the people in that town are putting a petition together to get that bell ringing again. They don't want that bell silenced for that their church, the church in that city. Disney World launches pronoun plans, pins for employees to self-declare their sexual identity. Well, of course, Disney would do something like that. New York governor announces social media analysis unit who will come after you if you post so-called hate speech. Well, who determines what is hate speech? I guess that woman governor there that is, you know, she's probably one who's going to determine what is hate speech and what isn't, and her cronies there. So megachurch in Atlanta, Embassy International pastor Brian Meadows brought a Hustler magazine and a vibrator on the stage to illustrate a point about friendships. Doesn't the Bible say something about avoiding the appearance of evil there? What's going on with that? You think that was appropriate for that pastor to do, if he is really a pastor of God? Yeah, well, anyways, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Well, here we see the U.S. government confirms 143,230 3% rise in risk of getting cancer if you took the jabs. Wow. And already there's a 1,433% increase in cancer in those who have taken the jabs. So that tells you some things there that is kind of serious. And if you took it, better be praying for healing and health and miracle for your body so you can live and not die and not get the sickness and all that stuff. Now, some people who took it, they got the saline solution. They didn't get the real thing, because they did give out a number of those too, or whatever solution they were putting in them. You know, it wasn't the real COVID vaccine. But anyway, that if you got that, bless you. You're blessed to get that. Praise God, you didn't get the real thing, and so you have a chance to not suffer like many are today. And, of course, Jesus can keep you, too, if you'll just turn to him and cry out to the Lord if you took it and do some certain things that you could do in your body for maintaining your health. All right. Well, that's all I have to share for news today. This is Thanksgiving week coming up here, so we're going to have a message tonight, somewhat little. I'm going to share on giving thanks some and some other things and warfare and some other very important things. So it's a very important message. It's not something that we want to ignore. I believe the Lord has something to tell you. And so we're going to hear that in just a few minutes, but I want to open up in prayer tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for another opportunity to gather here together here and have a live service tonight and ask your blessing on it, Father, that you would speak to everyone here listening and everyone who listens later, and that you would move in their lives, Father, do something wonderful in them. Thank you for changing us, molding us, making us, forming us into your image, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, because we know without you, we're nothing. We could do nothing, and we are nothing without you, Lord. But with you, hallelujah, we are blessed. And so we thank you, God, for that. We give thanks tonight for our salvation. We give thanks for the work you've been doing in our lives. We give thanks to you for your provision, your abundant supply in our lives, Father, the supply of grace and mercy and compassion and the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins tonight. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, the wonderful works that you're doing, Lord, in the earth and in us, Lord, as we seek your face and cry out to God. And we thank you for you doing a work in our lives, and we give you glory for that. And thank you for delivering us from evil spirits, changing us, transforming us, awakening us to the truth of the children's bread and the deliverance need of people today who are born again. Thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for our churches. We thank you for all the things that you're working in our life for healing our body, Father, that by your stripes we're healed. Thank you that, Lord, you forgive us all our iniquities and heal all our diseases. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are so good. And we appreciate your grace and mercy tonight. And thank you for, Lord, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, that we can stand boldly before our God and come into his presence without fear. Other than the reverence of God, we come in boldly before the throne of grace to receive help in time of need, Lord, and we appreciate that. And so many people today have needs, and they're hurting today, and we're going to address some of that today, Father, and we thank you for the anointing to do that. Thank you for spiritual, Lord, victories in our lives, that we're end time overcomers. And, Lord, you've called us to live at such a time as this. You've called us to be bold as lions. And, Father, we thank you for that. We ask your blessing on this message tonight, on this broadcast, and time of deliverance afterwards. Father, ask your blessing on that. Ask you to speak to everybody's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit today. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for divine protection over each one of us here, Lord. Thank you that you will take care of us through these days that we live in, because you are our Father who art in heaven, and we give you the glory that you're living also in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Praise God forever for that. And Lord, we thank you now as we go into this word, Lord. Bless it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I also want to pray for someone. I forgot to pray for someone who has diabetes and the legs are getting hard. Father, we just rebuke this diabetes spirit in Jesus' name. We rebuke the hardening of their legs. They're feeling so hard when they touch them and losing feeling in them. We rebuke that in Jesus' name and pray for a manifestation of health in their body. We rebuke the diabetic spirit and command it to get out of their body in Jesus' name. Thank you for a full manifestation of healing there in them in Jesus' name for your glory, Father. Touch them, heal them. Father, bring them out of this, Father, and give them a long life, not a short life, Father. We thank you for that. Everybody that agree with me, say amen for this brother. Amen. All right. Welcome. Glad you're here. We're going to get into the word here now. At the midnight hour. That's the title today. At the midnight hour. Can you imagine what that might be about? Oh, hallelujah. Well, you know what Thanksgiving is really all about is downplayed by the world, of course. And when people think of Thanksgiving, what do they think of? Well, they think of, well, turkey, pumpkin pie, sweet potatoes. They think of alcohol and drinking that day because they're off work. They think of a gathering together, you know, maybe with family members or friends. And They think of that day off that they have, and you know, they think of a lot of things, like Black Friday and what they can go buy in the store because they got their newspaper by now. They're hunting all the bargains. They're looking online or whatever. Hey, you're missing it, okay? See, Satan is afraid of Thanksgiving, so he diverts our attention from its true power. It's a time for praise and worship and thanksgiving. See, the enemy knows the power of praise and thanksgiving. He's afraid of the power of praise and thanksgiving. He doesn't want the people of the earth indulging in praise, worship, and thanksgiving. No, no, he'd rather keep them murmuring, grumbling, and complaining all the time. Psalm 149:9 says here, not 9, let's read Psalms 149:6-9. All right, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. You see that? What does that mean? What it means, by our praise, we can bind the enemy and his forces. The word used here, heathen and people, refer to the forces of Satan. That's right. And kings and nobles refer to the leadership of satanic forces. That's right. And see, if we, begin to allow the high, powerful praises of God to be in our mouth and a sharp, two-edged sword in our hand, the enemy will be defeated. He will be punished, and his leadership will be bound with chains and iron fetters. Hallelujah. Of course, they don't stay bound, but, hey, we can bind them again. We can continue the warfare against them because we have the authority to do it according here to the scripture. This honor have all his saints. Are you one of the saints of God? I'm one of the saints of God. So it's one of my honors that he's given me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He made me worthy to receive this honor. He made you worthy to receive this honor. So we can bind the enemy and his evil forces of darkness. Hallelujah. And if we allow this praise, look out, devil, right? Look out, devil. He'll be bound with iron fetters and chains. And so can you begin to see why the enemy downplays Thanksgiving? He fears praise, worship, and thanks, and the giving of thanks unto the Father God, unto the Lord God Almighty. He's afraid of it, doesn't want it going on. And the most natural thing for people to do is grumble, gripe, and be negative, isn't it? In fact, that's what you hear mostly around people that are of this world. They're grumbling, griping, and complaining, and being negative, and murmuring about this, that, and the other. But a key phrase in this scripture is, in the mouth. That's right. In the mouth. Did you get that? In the mouth. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. So what does that mean? It means in their throat. This means, in the Hebrew, that's what it means, to be in their throat. And this means it's been already installed within us as a believer. Not every believer uses what's been installed in them. Not just a burst of thanks here and there, but a steady flow of thanksgiving and praise and worship should come out of us because it's been installed in us. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the Hebrew means there in that verse. So complaining and negativism and murmuring, living in fear every day and unbelief, what does that do? It divides you. You know, because we were created for praise and worship and thanksgiving and love, walking in love. The greatest of these is love. See? And praise, worship, thanksgiving, love. What do? They unite us. They unite us with the Lord. They unite us with the Master. And we are a united army. You know, church is, what is a united army? Well, it's a militant and dangerous to the enemy army. And that's the church of the living God when they get in agreement. And we'll talk more about agreement too tonight. But Acts 16, read another scripture over here in Acts 16. What verse? 23. Acts 16, verse 23. All right. Hallelujah. Here we are. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, They cast them into prison. Remember this story, Paul and Silas? The multitude rose up together against them, and, yeah, they beat them, and then they cast them into prison. After they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at the midnight hour, right, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Did you get that? This is what happens at the midnight hour when you're praising and worshiping God instead of living in fear and trepidation and worry and fretting about everything. Anything can happen when you start praising and worshiping God at your midnight hour. Paul and Silas knew something about the power of praise and worship when they were in that dreadful prison. And by the way, there's another midnight hour in the scripture I'm going to talk about here tonight in a minute, too. Did you know that? There's another one. You might have guessed about Paul and Silas, but there's another one. After being beaten and bleeding and sore and facing possible execution, which is what Satan wanted to do to him, he wanted to take him out in execution in the morning. Instead of complaining, what they do, they praise God and gave thanks, singing praises unto God. Hallelujah. And folks, this kind of praise and thanksgiving, it releases the supernatural power of God for us. No wonder we don't have more of God's power in manifestation, because we don't have a personal praise going up to God. Amen. God's power manifested as the clock struck midnight, at the midnight hour. You know, a lot of times we're living in a place somewhere near the midnight hour, and we want God to come and help. Like David did, we cry out. We say, like Psalm 42, verse 3. Let's go read it, Psalm 42, verse 3, and see what David did. Hallelujah. 42, verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? See? Like David, we've been saying, where is our God, right? My tears have been my food day and night, and people say, oh, you're a Christian? Well, I don't see your God doing anything for you. You know, I don't see much happening in your life. I don't see what's going on there that you call yourself a Christian. Is that what it's about? Well, I'm not interested, right? Yeah, well, but they don't know, right? But not David, not Paul or Silas. David began to talk to his own soul, his mind, will, and emotions here, and says in verse 5 here, what does he say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See, sometimes people are going to have to start talking to themselves. Sometimes you're going to have to start talking to yourself. Oh, yeah, we all talk to ourselves, but most people, when they're talking to themselves, they talk themselves into more misery. They talk themselves out of a miracle. They talk how bad they are, how messed up they are. They say all the wrong things instead of the right things. But David, no, he's telling his soul, hey, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See what he's saying? He's not speaking all that stuff he should be saying. He's saying what he should be saying. Huh? That's what he was doing. See, sometimes you need to talk to yourself just that way. Yeah, not being negative. See? Yeah. And say, why are you depressed and discouraged and downtrodden and negative today? Self, why? Hey, soul, hope is in God. Put your hope in God. Remember, hello, we have a great hope within us, you know? And we need to remind ourselves of that, the hope of his glory, soul hope in God again, and soul, start praising him right now. Talk to your soul, saints. Talk to your soul. Tell it you are going to worship God. You are going to praise God. You are going to give him the glory here. You are getting these demons out. They are not going to stay here forever. This is not going to be your lot in life. And yet once was not enough. How many know when you're down, and it takes more than a little nudge to get you out of it? Yeah, to get you to get out of it. But David won't quit. You know, after the first time, he still needed to talk some more to his soul, and probably you and I do too. When we're in a situation like that, we need to talk to our soul. Look at verse 11 here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. See, he's just declaring what is truth. And, you know, we need to quit declaring the lie and start declaring the truth about our life. We are going to be delivered or are delivered in Jesus' name. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. We need to tell ourselves these things when we get faced with these kind of situations. See? Oh, yeah, a lot of people giving up a situation like that. They're just ready to give up. They're ready to quit. They don't want to give thanks. They don't want to do anything. Some of them go out and go to smoke some weed or go to the world to get drunk or go looking for, you know, a sexual partner or something. They do what they should be doing. Instead, you need to be talking to yourself and get yourself in the proper order. Hey, I'm going to praise you. God is the health of my countenance, my life, my emotions, my soul, my attitude, my will. Yeah, remember attitude? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your attitudes? You should, you know, if you haven't, because attitudes can poison you and make us spiritually and even physically sick. It can make you spiritually sick, but sure can make you physically sick too. Some people's attitudes have certainly made them sick. And so it's important, what kind of attitude do you have today? Do you have a thankful attitude and praising attitude? You got a, you know, one of them attitudes that is sabotaging your life, and you're letting devils in there through your attitude. And maybe the attitude you have is just because of the devils that are already in you as well. But, you know, David reminded himself of his great God and hope that he had in him and began to praise his way out of his downtime. Praise your way out. So did Paul and Silas. And so can you. And what happened? Jesus shows up. God shows up. And yeah, we want him way before our midnight of the soul, but so often God shows up right at our midnight with deliverance or with his answers, with his power, with what we need from him. Amen? With God power. How many know we need God power in our lives? We need the power of God to be in manifestation in our lives on a regular basis, not just once in a lifetime. No, no, no. That's not enough, folks. We need it all the time. We need it every day. Look at Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many know we face trouble? We face despair. We face attacks of the evil one. What are you going to do when those attacks come? You're going to give in to them? Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth should be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and yeah, the volcanoes are shaking, all right, maybe over there is it Iceland that they're talking, or Greenland, I forget which one it was, they're talking about the volcano erupting and things are shaking, and they've been having earthquakes all the time lately, quite often, in other words. There's a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of his tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So you need to encourage yourself. The Lord, read these psalms. These kind of psalms will lift you up and strengthen you and pull you up out of that garbage. You praise God with these psalms. Come behold, verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I mean, listen to that. That ought to pull you up out of that pit, man. If you believe this, if you believe it, you don't have to stay there. Okay? This is a psalm to read when you're going through it, man. And God is our refuge. He is our refuge in any trouble, okay? Any trouble, okay? Depression, discouragement, sickness, downtime, end times, financial time, hard times, and family problems, and difficult marital times, whatever it may be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Remember, if God doesn't show up before midnight, he will show up by midnight if you're praising him, okay? Just say it out loud to yourself. By midnight, he will show up for me. Amen? By midnight, he will show up for you. If you're praising him, if you're worshiping him, get ready for a visitation. Get ready for the power of God to show up. You don't quit praising him. You just keep on praising him. I mean, they've been whooped. They've been beaten. And here they were with blood oozing out of their back. They were praising God, worshiping God all the way up to the midnight hour when Jesus showed up. Hey, listen, if you're praising God, Jesus is going to show up. That's just the way it is. Look at Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, 1 through 6, be likened unto virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. See, there it is again, the midnight. Yeah. So we all get weary of waiting for our Lord. And a lot of people are backsliding because they're tired of waiting. Oh, they didn't come back for me. He didn't fix this for me. He didn't heal this. So-and-so didn't live through this. And all these different things. Right, weary of waiting, and he didn't come to deliver me, he didn't come to fix my problem. So what happened? You didn't put any oil, you didn't get any oil, you don't have any oil there, because you haven't been continuing to praise and worship God. And a lot of people, they tire of waiting for God to show up, and they quit praising and thanking God. And when he delays his arrival, hello, many slumber and sleep, and they grumble and gripe and groan and murmur. And when he does show up by midnight, many have slipped away by then, given up on God, ever showing up. And so they went their own ways, or they did it their own way, and missed out on the deliverance and the salvation of their Lord and the miracle working power of God showing up. See? Oh, I tell you, wait on the Lord. He's going to show up. He will show up by midnight. So what do we do? Well, you keep your oil in your lamp and keep that supply of oil and keep on praising him, giving him thanks, and keep that two-edged sword in your hand and talk to your soul and tell it to do right. Tell it not to just rebel like the soul is so prone to do. I'm talking about the body, soul, the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. That's what I'm talking about when I say the soul, because the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to just praise God. The flesh has to be forced to praise God because it doesn't want to praise God all the time. It doesn't want to give thanks unto the Lord God Almighty. It wants to be rebellious. It wants to do its own thing. But you got to just say, soul, you will praise the Lord. Soul, in my mouth, the high praise of God. In my hands, two-edged sword. You keep on. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't go weary. Oh, that's just, I've heard that stuff before. That's the same old stuff. Yeah, hey, no. It's fresh. It's the living word. It's vibrant. It's alive. It's just that you have grown bored with it because the devils have been working on you to bore you, to try to weary you about the things of God, make you think it's just old stuff and outdated and all that. It's not. Hey, it's real and it's powerful. And for every generation, the word of God is powerful and is living and alive. Excuse me. Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Habakkuk was hurting deeply, and it was a tough time for Habakkuk. It's a tough time with judgment on Israel, And yet in the midst of the depression and the desolation and the deaths and the troubles, Habakkuk spoke to himself and to God with praise. Even in famine and social national disruption, even in the times we live in this nation, and the messes that's going on in this nation and the temptations that have been released upon the people, keep praising God. Tell your soul to worship. Tell your soul to praise. And he praises. He offers a sacrifice of praise. And God showed up at his midnight hour, and Satan and his forces were stopped. God made his feet light and as swift as a deer, as hind feet, and took him into the high places of God. And he'd do the same for any one of us if we'll praise and worship God and put him up and talk to our soul and put him up, lift him up in our lives. Here God will show up at midnight or before. So keep offering a sacrifice of praise, saints. Keep thanking him and telling yourself to rejoice and praise always. See, the reason some of you have not been delivered yet is because it is not midnight yet. It will come, and so will your God. Quit growing weary so easily. You know, make it a part of your life, though, not just at Thanksgiving. Oh, well, I'll thank him here for something. I'll try to think of something here, Thanksgiving coming up. No, it needs to be every day, not just at Thanksgiving. And it's also a warfare mode to be in. Satanic forces can be bound up with our high praises. You know that? Oh, yes, they can. Has it seemed like a midnight time to you lately? Has it seemed like you're just worn out? I mean, should you do what most do? Praise the devil by grumbling and murmuring and being in fear all the time? Or should you lift up, you know, the praises and your hands unto God and worship him? So go ahead, yes, praise him today. Maybe you can only get out a little trickle today, but start now. Maybe you haven't been praising God in a long time. Maybe you've never really entered into deep praise. But now is a good time to start. If it only starts with a trickle, at least you start. Don't let him come and find you slumbering and sleeping. And all the oil and the praise be out of your lamp. And yeah, Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks, but every day of life is a time to give thanks also. How many will praise him and thank him, not just at this season, but in every season? Come to him today and say, okay, Lord, I'll wait. I know you're going to show up for me. So I'll praise you in the interim. While I wait, I'll praise. While I wait, I'll do praise warfare too, as well as praise worship and praise honor. I'll do praise warfare. And the enemy hates that because they could be bound up with our high praises. How many times have demonic beings tried their best to shut down praise and worship in churches and in people's personal lives? How many times have they been successful in messing up worships and stopping worship or causing it not to go right or something? I could think of many times over the years if we had problems, you know, with the worship and attacks that came from the enemy to try to shut down the worship, but we prevailed. But there were times that we suffered attacks from, you know, during the praise and worship or on the worship team. When we had a large worship team, we were attacked there with people that were attacked. I mean, the enemy hates worship, okay? So, I mean, look at all the problems churches do have, really entering into praise as a church and as a corporate body of Christ. I mean, there's a war on against, you know, praise. So that praise should, we need to take our praise and put a war on at the enemy of praise, you know, as we use it as a weapon against him. As the scripture says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth, two-edged sword in your hand. So this is warfare. As we praise, we go into battle. Praise must become our way of life and living, not just a once-in-a-while thing, you know. What all of us are engaged in, really living life here on planet Earth, it requires praise. It requires the sharp two-edged sword. Living on planet Earth in these perilous latter times require lots of real praise, folks, the fruit of our lips. And, yeah, I know sometimes it's a real sacrifice to praise. but it is a necessary sacrifice. Let us offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Satan wants to shut those lips up. But no, loose our lips and our voice to praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let our lips be loosed and let the praises of God come out of these mouths in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Listen, I want to give you some ways to stay a praiser and to make it in these days that we're living in. I want to share some things that are important right now. Look, make it difficult for the demons to get into you. You know, a lot of people, the demons just get in so easily. Someone has called us and talking to us this week. You know, they picked up demons through something on the internet. You know, just so easily picking up spirits, and now they're so tormented and troubled and having manifestations of spirits moving around inside of their body. And you know, avoid places and associations, and that could be internet associations with certain people on the internet. There are Satanists that are masquerading as Christians on the internet to snare Christians if they can get away with it, you know. And so avoid places and associations that open wide doors to you know, to your life. And pray and war when you have to go places and question. If you have to go somewhere, you need to pray and war about it so that you don't pick up a bunch of stuff when you go in these places, because, you know, the devils are just looking for any way to get into people and trouble their lives. You know, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus always, okay? Always cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. That's so important. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, keep yourself covered in the blood. And you need to also, number two, is recognize threats. You know, develop discernment of spirits. You know, recognize the threat of the enemy. Recognize when you're being threatened that the enemy picks to get in there. You need to be aware of it. You need to ask God for more discernment and exercise it and use it. You know, it's important. And then next is cut off the darkness. You know, wherever it is in your life, wherever you've allowed it to be, maybe you've got a collection of old ungodly music that needs to go. You can cut that darkness off, or maybe you got a dream catcher in the house or a picture of Jesus. Just cut that off and get it out of there. The Bible said we're not to make pictures of any graven image or likeness of God. So what are you doing if you have that up, a picture of Jesus? And so it's not wise to do that. Just cut these things off. Give no place to the devil. You've got to cut off the darkness in your life. Whenever you see it, you know, whenever you're aware of it, get rid of it. Deal with it. Face it and cut it off. And the next thing we need to do is, number four, be alert in this time we're living. Be alert. Can't be sleeping like the virgins were sleeping. They were slumbering. They weren't alert. They weren't ready for the attacks that were going down. And they weren't ready for the things going on in the world and the darkness that was slipping in through all AI and different things to bring in destruction and control over people and really to open a door for doorways for a lot of devil to get in people. So be alert. Don't be a passive, sleepy, lazy person. You know, you're inviting the devils to come and the parasites to come and get in you. You know, these demonic devices. You know, if you're not alert. Number next is harass the enemy. Number five, harass the enemy. Instead of letting Satan continually harass you, you go on the offensive and harass him. You know, David ran toward Goliath, right? He ran toward that soothsaying devil, and he took him out, right? So, hey, you know, harass the enemy, too. Don't just be the one that gets harassed all the time. You harass him. We harass him in deliverance. Just doing deliverance harasses the enemy. He hates that. He hates us applying the blood against him over and over. The blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. It torments them. They hate it. They hate it. We harass the enemy in spiritual warfare. We bind him. We stop his devices in Jesus' name. Okay? So it'll throw him off too, you know. Next thing is use your time wisely. Listen, you've been given only so much time, 24 hours a day, and you can make it do something good for you, or you can make it do nothing for you. You could just be lazy and just sit there and waste it playing internet games or gaming on the TV, you know, or watching endless junk, you know. And I'm not saying never watch anything. I'm just saying some people, that's all they want to do is watch endless stuff. Yeah, we've had people come to us for addiction to movies. They just watch them one right after another, movie. They had problems every day of the week watching movies. And oh, man, you know, use your time wisely. Make it count. Sit down and write out things if you need to, you know, and watch out. Next one is watch out what you say. Speak in line with the Word of God. Watch out what you're speaking because, hey, it's very important what you say, and we'll talk a little more about this in a minute. But you need to pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth, and don't just speak whatever comes into your mind because that could be a real sabotage for you. I'm telling you. Next thing, be one who has ears to hear. You know, listen to the voice, the still small voice of Jesus, the voice of guidance, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's being given, but not everybody's hearing it. You know, Lord, show me some things lately that, you know, he shows me things and I miss it, you know, because it's such a little passing flight moment that he shows it to me and I just miss it sometimes. And now I'm beginning to realize these little passing things that just slip through my mind or slip before my eyes or in my spirit. This is God trying to tell me some things, and we need to listen to those things, because how many times have we not listened and we got ourselves in some kind of situation or something happened that shouldn't have happened? We need to be listening. Amen. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us. All right, next is help free someone else. Okay? We're not the only one here who's in bondage, okay, or who needs deliverance. Everybody needs deliverance, but we need to help somebody else. Learn to help somebody else. Learn to go and do the work of the ministry, right? Not that maybe you're in the fivefold ministry or anything. You're just doing the work of ministry. Everybody's a minister. Everybody's called to manifest Christ Jesus. And so next, keep your eyes on Jesus. Number 10, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your offenses, your hurts, and you know all the things that you know people have done to hurt you, wound you, and all the stuff that brought you into your midnight hours, and all the bad stuff people have done. No, you got to forget the past, move ahead. Hey, you got to forgive the people that have done you wrong, and keep on moving ahead. Don't let them drag you down. Number 11. Cast and keep casting all your cares on the Lord until you truly walk without any cares. You may have to do it 100 times before you walk without that care any longer. Keep on casting it. Keep on casting it. Keep on casting it. Just cast those cares on the Lord until you're walking without those cares anymore, really walking. You'll know you're walking that way when you're really walking that way, see, because it won't bother you anymore. And it won't trouble your mind anymore, see. You will really know you have cast those cares on the Lord then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 12, keep on praising the Lord in spite of all the attacks of evil. Listen, your breakthrough and breaking out of something may depend on your praise to God. That's how important the praises of God are. You keep those praises going out. Keep those praises going up unto the Holy of Holies, into the heavenly realms of glory, and keep on worshiping him. See? Oh, man, I'm telling you, you know, keep on praising the Lord. You know, a lot of people quit when the going gets rough. A lot of people quit a lot of things when the going gets rough. A lot of people backslide when the going gets rough. But listen, if you can't keep walking the walk, then why'd you start the walk in the first place? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are going to turn back. And the Bible says, if you turn back, my soul has no pleasure in you, the Lord said. So listen, don't turn back. Keep on going on. Keep on praising God. Keep on moving forward. Keep on forgiving people. You know, and it's not, you may have to forgive the same person 50 times before you've really forgiven them. And, you know, a lot of people think they've forgiven when they really haven't forgiven. So you keep on forgiving until you have a releasing within you, and you know that you have not ought against that person any longer whatsoever. And it may be a battle to forgive. It may take you a long time period to do it, but keep on doing it over and over until it really happens. Just like you keep casting those cares until you've really released them and you don't have them anymore. It's not keeping you up. You're not fretting about it. You're not troubled. You're not worried anymore. The Lord really has it, and you don't have it. When he has it, you don't have it, and you can rest. And you can enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, you need to really recognize that God doesn't want to leave you in bondage. Okay? But many people refuse to leave their bondages, see? That's what you need to recognize. God doesn't want to leave you in bondage, but a lot of people don't want to leave their bondage behind either. They refuse to leave their bondage. It's like they're addicted to their bondages. Something holds them there in their life. They're stuck, and many times it could be a curse that's holding them stuck that way. Curses can keep people stuck in places that they can't move ahead out of them. And you know, a lot of times their bondages may get them attention. And rather than getting free, you know, their rejection and their desire for attention, they'd rather have that attention. And that desire for attention keeps them in bondage. You know, people who always want attention, always want to be, you know, stroked and want somebody to pray for them, do something for them, do this, do that, always wanting their attention. You know, it's usually a root of rejection. Usually a root of rejection in there. And so, but some won't listen, you know, to the way out of the way they're in, see? And people need to listen to the way out, because if the way is presented to get out of things, you need to take it and not stay there in bondage to those devils. You know, praise is so important, but also is agreeing with God. You know, we miss out on so much good, and which is so much of God, by our own stubbornness and devils that we're in agreement with, when we should be getting in agreement with God and out of agreement with self and those devils that keep us in bondage to our own selves and to the devils that are in self. And so we need to go ahead. Let me just illustrate a story, some stories here I'm going to share with you. But a little girl went to her father and said, "Daddy, I want a nickel." Well, the father, he wanted to bless this child. He loved his little girl. And he took her out of his wallet and offered her a crisp $5 bill. But the little girl, not knowing what a $5 bill was, would not take it and said, "I don't want that. I want a nickel, Daddy. I want a nickel." And you know what? Aren't there times like this with our Father in heaven? We ask him for something that's not his best or below what he has and wants to give to us and how he wants to really bless us. And he offers us so much more, but we refuse because we aren't familiar with what he's offering. We don't get it. We don't recognize that Father knows best, but we thought our way was the best way, you know. We thought what we wanted was what we should have. And so when he offered us this other thing, well, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want that, God. That's not what I was asking for, God. That's not what I had in mind here. And so we reject what he is trying to give us, the blessing of God, the blessings of heaven. Look at Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, this applies to a lot of our lives. Like, if you can't really walk with another Christian if they're not agreeing, if they're thinking that abortion is okay, like some Christians do today, and you know that it's not. How are you going to walk together? You're not in agreement, okay? Could it be the reason that some Christians are far from God today is because they're not in agreement with God? You ever think about that? You know, how are we going to walk together properly with the Lord if we won't be in agreement with him? You know, when we think our way is the right way above his way, really, that's kind of funny. Father really knows everything in the universe and created the universe, and we're going to think that we know something better than God? Perhaps we're trying to walk with God on our own terms, and it's not working right because we want to be our own God in a way. You know, a lot of Christians want that, and they want God to agree with us so we can walk together on our terms, you know. We're trying to pull him down to our little small view of things, our little nickel view, when he wants to give us a $5 bill. You know, he wants to bless us abundantly, but we're looking at this nickel thing and thinking that's got to be God, right? That's got to be God. How many know that God has surprises for you that you have yet to see, and sometimes we won't see them if we determine to have it our way only? We've got to be open to God's way, folks. We got to be open to His best for us. You can't pull Him down to our level, our human level, and get Him in agreement with our will and our plans, because He sees sometimes our plans are not the right plan. See, the plan we have comes out of our narrow vision for our lives, our little small narrow vision that we the way we see things. I mean, we see through a glass darkly, the Bible says. But, you know, He sees it all. You know, like the, maybe you heard this about the three little trees, but because it's not original by me. But I read it or heard it one time, and I want to share it with you. You know, one tree said, I want to be a baby cradle when I grow up and rock a little baby to sleep. And the second tree said, well, I want to be a mast for a fine big boat. I want to travel the world and see the sights. And the third little tree said, well, I don't want to be cut down at all. I just want to stand tall on a hill and point people to God. Well, you know, the years went by. The trees grew into fine big trees, and they tried their best to grow into trees that God could use. And one soft and curved so that it could be a cradle, the second tall and strong so it could be a mast for a sailboat, and the third tall and pointed so that it could always point the way to God. Well, one day men came in and cut the first tree down, and the tree was excited, at last I get to be a cradle. But no, they just made him into a trough to feed the animal. That's all, just a trough. He was so disappointed, and sometimes we get disappointed because we don't see God's whole plan, right? He was also angry with God. How many times have we been angry with God? God, you knew I wanted to be a baby cradle. How could you just let this happen to me? But God said, just be patient. Listen, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished doing what I want to do with you yet. Just be patient. I have a very special job for you. And later the second tree was cut down. He was excited to finally be a mast, but no, he was cut up into boards and made into a little small fishing boat. He too was upset with God and said, you knew I wanted to be a mast. But God said, be patient, tree. I have something very special, a very special job for you. And finally, men came and cut down the third tree, and he was horrified and said, why, God, why? Why did this happen to me? God said, be patient, little tree. I have a very special job for you. One day there was a lot of commotion at the stable where the first tree was living as a trough. It seemed the couple couldn't get a motel and had to stay in the stable. She had a baby. They had no cradle. So they put it in the trough, and the tree was overwhelmed with happiness as he felt the baby snuggle down and sleep in his trough there, in his wood there that he was, you know. And God whispered to the tree, that baby is my son. You're the most important baby cradle in the world. And years later, as the second tree floated in the Sea of Galilee, sure that God had forgotten all about him, he suddenly heard a lot of noise and people gathering on the shore, and a special-looking man stepped inside the boat and spoke, and God whispered, that man is my son. You have just helped many people to know about me. You're the most important boat in the world. Now, the third tree, he was shaped into two rough boards and fastened together. And one day he was carried through the streets of Jerusalem and put up on a hill, and a man who carried him was hung to die. And he was so disappointed and cried bitterly to God, is this the special job you had for me, God, to be a cross for a criminal? And God said, that man is my son. He's dying to save the world for their sins. And from this day forward, you will always point people to me. See, God, in his special ways, had given them his best. And yet for years, they couldn't see it. And they were even mad at God. Haven't we done the same thing? Haven't we been the same way at times? Folks, we need to get in agreement with God and quit expecting him to always get in agreement with our plan and our little view of things, our little sight of things. And, oh, God, I'm so missing out. You know, why didn't you do this? Why didn't this happen? Well, you see the whole picture? You see how these trees, they got what they wanted. It just didn't come in the form of the way that they thought it would. God blessed them so much greater than that little nickel that they wanted. Oh, hallelujah. And God will bless you and me that way, too. You can be sure of that. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about your cry to him. God has not forgotten when you asked for that nickel. He's got that $5 bill. He's got that big thing. Daddy, God has for you what you never even could thought would be possible. But you need to continue to praise him. You need to continue to look to him. You need to not run off on your own thing. How many know that a lot of people run off and do their own thing and hope that God's in it? Or they think that must be God's will, and they go off and do this thing, and they get lost in it for years. And sometimes they miss out on what God has for them because they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't let God bring his plan to pass in their life. They stubbornly went off on their own road. They listened to the voices of, you know, second best, third best, or voice of demons that led them astray, or voice of grandma who told them this is what you should be doing, or Uncle Joe who said this is what you should do with your life. And hey, God has plans for you which you know not of, which you cannot recognize. See? You're asking for a nickel, and he's offering you a $5 bill, and here you are. You're a little, like the little girl. You're just a young Christian. You don't know all the ways of God yet. You don't know all the ways. Or maybe you're a more mature Christian, and you think you know the ways of God, but you don't know them. You can't recognize what that $5 is, that $5 bill that he's offering you. It's hard for you to recognize it because all you're seeing what you want the way you want it, see? Recognize God has something better, always something better than our best that we can come up with. Amen. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's giving you the whole thing. You know, people settle for so little when God wants to give you so much. You know, he wants to deliver you from so much, and yet you would have settled for one demon getting out. Oh, yeah, I got one demon out. You know, no, there's so many to get out. And he wants to give you the children bread on a regular basis, and he wants to give you his best, see? But you're going to have to quit fearing and trying your best to bring God to your level. How many know God can't operate to his full extent if you're walking in fear because you're walking in the devil's territory? See, because when you walk in fear and he told you to fear not, where are you walking? You're not walking in his best and perfect for you. His best and perfect is fear-free living. Because he told you 366 times to fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. See? And what are you doing running around with a bunch of fear? You're hanging out with demons. Spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you're living in fear, where is that fear coming from? See? You fear that God isn't going to come through in your life. You haven't let him show you the five yet. You saw, but you didn't understand it. Maybe you saw some things. You know, maybe he gave you some things, but you didn't understand it because you were thinking on a nickel level when he was thinking way beyond and above, beyond what you're thinking, see? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you have to quit walking in fear if you're going to walk in God's best, see, because fear, he told you to fear not, and he told you over and over to fear not, and yet you're disobeying him, see. He is God, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to do it best. How many know that? You believe he knows better than you and I do? I know he does. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Excuse me. That's what the word says. And it's a Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he's God, and he knows what he's doing. And he knows how to do it. And he's going to give you the kingdom his way, not your way. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Too many times, God and his blessings come in a form that we don't recognize. So we reject them. That's right. We reject them. How many times have we rejected what God was giving us that was so far beyond what we were even able to conceive of? And we didn't recognize it, see? You see what I'm saying? Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? They didn't recognize Jesus, and they almost missed him. But he revealed himself to them finally, and their eyes were open, and excuse me, they saw him. And, oh, they said, did not our heart burn within us? See, you know, when we really get into God's best, our heart's going to burn within us. Because we know, man, this is God. This is God. We're walking in God's plan for our lives instead of our plan. Acts 9:5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, we've all done what Paul did simply because we've not been in agreement. That word pricks, goads, what it means. And it's kentron. And it said of the many promptings from God which Saul had resisted before his conversion. Now listen, God's given us a lot of promptings too. He spoke a little still small voice things to us that we just dismissed or ignored. You know, or just didn't listen to at all because it wasn't in alignment with what we had in mind, see? And see, God had prompted, you know, pricked and dealt with, you know, Paul many times, and he had done the same for us. But when we're not in agreement, we resist, like maybe even get mad at God, like the tree did in this story, because things didn't seem to be working out as we had planned or hoped they would work. So listen, important point is don't resist the dealings of God in your life. Don't resist the work of the Holy Spirit, because he's promised to work in us until the day of Jesus Christ, so you can know that he will work in you. But if you're resisting him, he's not going to keep forcing his way, not going to keep pushing through what your strong, stubborn self will that doesn't want to do it his way. He'll wait until you're ready to have his best. And sometimes that takes a long time. For a lot of people, it does. Okay? So don't resist God. Get in agreement with God. God, I get in agreement with you. Father God, I choose to be in agreement with you, and it's not my will be done, not my way, but your way, your will, your best for me, not my best for me. I want your best. And one principle is true throughout Scripture. The place of walking in agreement is the place of power with God. See, when you really walk in agreement with God, you know, you're going to walk in the power of God, okay? Because the place of agreement is the place of power. That is true throughout Scripture. Is America agreed today? Are we agreed in America? No. And what has happened because of it? Well, we lack power. We're becoming a weak nation. We're becoming a nation that no longer will be able to go out there and win wars. We're a nation that doesn't have the power of God like it could have. What happened? I mean, we lack in power. In World War II, America was in agreement and walked together, and we won. But in Vietnam, we were not in agreement, and we lost that war. And, yeah, I know, you know, there's a lot more to these wars than, you know, that, too. I mean, really, there's a lot of undercover stuff that went on, a lot of lies and a lot of stuff went on, but still, when people get in agreement, there's power. When people can agree, like that's what the Lord came down and shut down the Tower of Babel, because these people were all of one determination to do evil. One determination, and they were in agreement to do evil, you know? And so, yeah, is the church agreed today, you think? Do you think the church was lacking power because of it? Yeah, that is true. You bet we do. And was the early church agreed? Yes, they were agreed. What did they do? The Bible said they turned the world upside down. These are the people that turned the world upside down because they walked in agreement. And when they walked in agreement, they walked in power, and God wants us to walk in agreement. We start with, you know, us and God, and then we go to our spouse and God, you know, us and God, and then we get our family in agreement, and then we get a church in agreement. And this is almost impossible today because so many people have different opinions, and it's not about opinions. It's about truth, folks. It's really not about your opinion. But everybody has these opinions on matters and their own thoughts about things, and therefore they don't get in agreement. And this is not a place of power. This is a place of weakness, you know, and defeatedness. And you won't walk in agreement with one another. I mean, won't walk in agreement with God, won't walk in agreement with your family member, your wife, your husband. Look at Matthew 18:19-20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, do you see the power here? Is this power or what? I mean, think about this. It shall be done, and I'll be there. If you can agree, you know, if you could agree. Hallelujah. You see the power of agreement. The place of agreement is a place of power. God said it. If we truly agree on one thing, I'll give it to you, and I'll show up in your midst. How many want Jesus to show up in your midst? Amen. We want Jesus to show up in our midst, don't we? Hallelujah. In the midst of us, in the midst of our prayer meetings, in the midst of our gatherings, in the midst of our praying with our husband or wife. I hope you do pray with your husband or wife. If not, you need to start doing it, right? And if they're saved, start praying with them. If they're not saved, ask them if you can pray together anyway. Maybe they'll get saved. Right? Amen. Amen. So perhaps your biggest breakthrough awaits you. You simply just need to get in agreement with God. Maybe the reason he hasn't moved you to his very best is that the two of you are at odds with each other. You're not in agreement with him. I know. These are things to think about. Maybe you haven't thought about these things. Maybe you've just been going merrily along in your own way and wondering why things are not the best that they speak of in the Bible, the best, you know, like the Word says they could be. And maybe because you're doing your own thing. You know, you settled for a nickel when you could have the $5 fresh, crisp bills from heaven. You know? You have a plan and a will for it, and he has a better plan. And you think you have his plan, but you have your own plan. Yeah? Something's wrong there. Okay? We got to make sure we're walking in one accord with the Lord, not walking and just, you know, trying to get him to go along with our accord, you know, our plan, our deal. You know? Ever think about this? It's time to. 1 John, let's go over there, 5, 7, and 8. 1 John 5, 7, and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. See? See, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are so agreed in one that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, there's so much one and so much in agreement. He said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we need to be able to say that. Hey, you know, we still living in these fleshly bodies, and there's no good thing dwelling in our flesh. But, hey, if you truly see me, you know, you've seen the Lord, because the Lord is in me, and I'm walking in agreement with him, the only difference is we still sin in these bodies. My spirit doesn't sin, but my body sins, my soul sins, the mind, will, and the emotion, see? So you see how important agreement is here. We read in 1 John, God is in agreement with himself, and he is one God. And he said that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, see? But we rebel against that because we don't walk in agreement with him a lot of the time because of our soul. Our soul wants to, you know, have the throne of our lives rather than letting the Holy Spirit have the throne of our lives, see? And there are demons in the soul, too, which is the mind, will, and emotions that will manipulate things and tell us things that are not quite accurate because we don't always hit it right, do we? And there are times when we are inaccurate. There are times that demons have influenced our thought life and we are missing God and we're not walking in his best. We're settling for a substitute. We're settling for something far less than him. And because demons have told us this is good for you or this is the best that God has for you because you're not much of a Christian anyway. You're such a mess anyway. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lies, lies, lies. But see? God wants you to have better than that. And when we're in agreement with God, we too are one with him and are walking in unity. Hallelujah. All right. Agree with him. Amen. You get a lot further. You agree with him. Get in agreement with God and anything can happen. And so as I close out today, you know, I want to tell you to be encouraged today and worship him and praise him as we talked about earlier in the message how important it is to keep those praises on your lips because praises can put you into his presence very quickly. And if you get in his presence, it's more easy to agree with him, see? But if you very rarely ever get in his presence, if you very rarely enter into true worship and spending time in worship with him, and get over there into the Holy of Holies, and even speaking in tongues and singing in tongues will help bring you into this place where you could really hear God best and get in agreement with that, see? Amen. So Ephesians 3, my last scripture today, Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Here we go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, his power is working in us to do that. If we will let him do that, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, he is working in us if we will allow him. Because he is able to do exceeding abundantly, but we don't let him do what he's able to do a lot of the time. See, God, everybody said God is able. Sure, God's able to heal. But a lot of people don't let him heal them because of their unbelief. They don't let him heal them because of their preconceived ideas about healing and the lies that the devil has told them that you're not going to be healed and this, that, the other, see. But he's able to do it, and he will do it. If you'll let him do it, see, according to the power that is in you and it's working in you right now, see, to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. He wants to do it that way, too. And so he will go way beyond our plan, way beyond our will, way beyond our thoughts. I mean, you know, what we will to do, what we think is best, and what we thought about the matter and our hopes about things and our desires about things, he go beyond that because his best for us and he has a best for you. And you got to believe that for your life right now. He does have a best for you. And yet, you know, it's yet to come. For a lot of us, it's yet to come. Some of us walked in a lot of his best already because we've been in agreement with him. But just how many are staying in agreement with him? How many are really walking in agreement with him and seeing the best? You may spend years in obscurity before the one day that Jesus comes and stands in your boat. Yeah. where he gets and hangs on your tree, you know, the tree that was you. He shows himself strong on your behalf. And your impact, and you impact many for Christ. Yeah. His holy instrument of righteousness. That's what we are. We are instruments of God. We are children of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember who you are and give thanks to the Lord on a regular basis for what he's made you and what he's making you into, because he's so much above what we think. He's so much higher, and we got to get on his wavelength. We got to step over into that realm of the Spirit. See, they that worship him have to worship in spirit of truth. That's the realm of the Spirit where we can hear more accurately, where we can step over where God's at and listen and hear and see that $5 that he has for us and see that and get an agreement with what that $5 is, even if we can't see the full concept that God has of that, or we can't see the full end results of that. But we step over there and begin to listen spiritually to the spiritual God that talks to us in the Spirit, see? And quit just relating in the flesh. Quit relating in just out of the mind, will, and emotion, and start relating out of our spirit, see? Because there's a relationship that is so much deeper and so much more accurate and so much more agreement we can get into. We get over in the Spirit. Do you hear me? What I'm talking about today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word tonight, Father. Thank you that we can put those high praises up to heaven. We can offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, Lord. And we can get ourselves in agreement with you, and we can step over into the Spirit, because praise takes us places we would never go before. And we could never go without it. Praise will take us into those places. Worship will take us over there. Getting in agreement with God will take us. Getting over into the Spirit will take us into the place where God speaks, where God leads, where God delivers, where God answers prayers mightily. And oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. We worship you, worship you, worship you. Thank you for every good and precious gift that comes down from above. Father, we praise you today that you are good and your mercies endure to all generations, forever, Father. Praise you for that. Praise you, worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That, Lord, we are going to walk into your best, and we are going to be in agreement with you so we can see your best, so we can receive your best, Father, and walk in your best in this life, Lord, as well as we have, of course, your best in eternity, because then we'll see as see him as he is, we'll totally understand, and much more than we do now. But, Lord, there's so much more that we can't understand now if we're just willing to get in there and hear those things that you have to reveal to us, Lord. And so I'm willing, Lord. I hope that every listener tonight is willing to have all they can have so that they can have your very best, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that, Lord, we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and we have praises in our mouth and praises in our spirit, Lord, that's coming up and going up into the heavenly throne room of God, and he is receiving our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for showing each listener, Lord, the $5 bill that you have for them, Lord, showing them, Lord, beyond their nickel view of things, Lord. Take them beyond it and take them deeper. Take them further. Take them out into the deep, Lord. Take them out where the Holy Spirit speaks clearly to them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we receive that. Everybody say, I receive that. I receive this word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we will be back in a few minutes to cast out some spirits and do whatever else the Lord have us to do with the time that we have here left this evening. Okay? So put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. And believe in him. and know that he will see you through, and he will get you through that midnight hour. He will show up in that midnight hour. Amen. Amen. He will.
Gotta free this world for Jesus, and he's the hope unto the lost. You've gotta recognize the pressures and know where they're coming from. You've gotta understand the reasons and why it's coming.
Back here. All right. So let's go after some things here tonight. I don't see what way the Lord has to go here and dealing with some things. Oh, yeah. maybe it is true that there are some spirits of apprehension bothering some people. So maybe we should deal with that. Apprehension spirit. Ah. Well, we command the spirit of apprehension to come out right now. Yeah, come out of here right now. In the name of Jesus, spirit of apprehension. All that apprehension. People are apprehensive and it torments them sometimes. We command that apprehension to go all the way out right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. We break your power. Thank you, Jesus. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Come out. All that spirit of apprehension, come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, all that apprehension. How about the spirit of uncertainty? Come out, come out. Spirit of uncertainty. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Uncertain where you stand with God, uncertain about life, uncertain about different things about your relationship. Come out, spirit of uncertainty. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Go, keep going. Come out. All the way out of there. Keep coming out. Spirit of uncertainty. Come out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, keep going. All the way. Go, 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 go. Go, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All that uncertainty, spirit, come out. Living life in uncertainty is not a good way to live it, see? I'm certain of one thing, you know, that I'm in the Lord's hand. I don't have to live in uncertainty. He's taking care of me. Have you made yourself God responsible for you lately? Have you done that? It's important, you know, to make yourself, you know, God responsible for your life, see? Like, yeah, a lot of people don't do that. You know, they just take response. You know, he's the one who's supposed to take care of you. You belong to him, right? So just you can be certain that he'll do it if you put yourself in his hands. Keep coming out of that spirit of uncertainty right now. Go, we bind you. Come out, come out. Spirit of uncertainty, come out, 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 come out. All the way out of there, all that uncertainty, come out. Spirits of uncertainty, spirits of fear, come out. Spirits of fear, fearfulness. You're having a hard time letting go of fear, come out of there. All that fear, you have to go right now. Some people struggle with fear a lot. They just seem to get out of that fearful mode all the time. You come out of there, fear. Come out of there. All that fear, come out right now. Go, go, go. And God, yeah, you know God tells you to fear not, but somehow those spirits have a hold through your family line, maybe generationally. You know, you got to recognize some. Maybe it's just not all just you, but it came through the generational line, came through the familiar spirits, family line spirits. And so we break that curse of fear over your life. That control by fear, control and domination by fear, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name, spirits of fear. The Lord rebuke you. You come out of there now. Come out, fear. 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 Worry. Apprehension. Anxiety. Come out all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We come against those spirits of grinding your teeth at night because you're so fearful and apprehensive and worried and in anxiety about life. Grinding your teeth. Come out. Come out. Clenching, grinding, fighting. Go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Little habits that go on in the night, and you just seem like there's nothing you could do to control that or stop that. You come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. Grinding your teeth, come out. Clenching, come out at night. Biting and abusing your mouth at night. Come out, come out, come out while you're in your sleep. Come out, come out, come out. Some people do it in, when they're awake, too. I remember this one woman. She's just always biting the side of her mouth inside, biting and biting all the time while she was awake. She was so tormented and nervous about things or worried about things. Come out of there. So much anxiety. Come out, come out, come out, come out. The stress spirits, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, all that stressful spirit, come out. All that spirit causing people to bite down and cause problems for their mouth, and they bite. Come out, come out, come out. Gritting, grinding. Come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We cast out those spirits in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Mind control, we come against you. Come out. All that mind control spirit, I bind you. Break that control over the mind of people's mind. Come out. Come out, mind control. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. We cast you out in Jesus' name. Come out, mind control spirits. We break those mind control spirits. Break the curse of those mind control spirits. Come out. Come out, 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 mind control. I bind you. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. All that mind control. Go, 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 go. Up and out, up and out. Up and out, up and out of there. Up and out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a deep breath. Let it go. Take a few coughs. Get the thing moving. Come out. All those spirits need to move and get out of there. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All that mind control. We bind that mind control. Come out. 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 All that mind manipulation spirit that manipulates your mind. Come out. All that mind manipulation. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. That demon that manipulates the mind. We command you to go. In the name of Jesus, loose them, loose them, loose them, and let them go all the way, all the way out, all the way out. Mind manipulation, go. And a mind binding spirit, mind paralyzing spirit, come out, come out. It paralyzes your mind. Your mind is not functioning like it should. It's not accomplishing what you know it can accomplish because the spirit's in there, mind blocking it, mind binding it, and mind paralyzing it. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, those mind spirits. Come out. Come out. It's all the way out. Out, 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 out. Up and out in the name of Jesus. Go. The blood of Jesus is against you demons right now. Angels, sword these demons. Sword them, sword them, sword them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come on, let them go. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. Go. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. See, a lot of the problems with the mind is because people want to be in control, and they don't know how, you know, to do the right kind of thing because they're not letting Jesus be in control, see? And you need to let Jesus be in control. That take away a lot of the troubles of the troubling of the mind, because the mind without Jesus, you know, without the influence of the Holy Spirit working in the mind, you know, and being renewed by the Word of God is not going to function correctly, okay? It can only function to the utmost best through the power of the Holy Spirit working there and the renewing of the mind with the Word of God, as the Word teaches you to renew your mind with the Word. And that's a priority if you want a good functioning mind, amen? Hallelujah. So you got to go. We break these mind-binding spirits off in Jesus' name. Get out of the mind. Go. Go, 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 go. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Family fighting spirit. The family infighting spirit that causes you to fight within your family. Come out. All that family infighting, come out. Can't agree with one another, always arguing, family infighting, come out. Family infighting, go, go, go. Emotional and physical infighting, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. all the way out. Go, we bind that spirit, that divisive family infighting spirit that causes relations to fight with one another, to argue, to disagree. There's no agreement there in the family, and so there's no place of power for the family because of that. You come out, always fighting. Come out, come out, come out. Come on, always fighting with the family members. Come out, can't agree. Parents can't agree, and the children don't agree with the parents. The parents don't agree with the children, and all kind of infighting going on, and siblings don't agree with each other, and can't get in any agreement, so there's no power with the family. There's no place of power. There's no place of the anointing being released. The degree that God could do it, if people would get an agreement. If two or three could agree, it's touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. That's what the Word says. So, hey, if you can't get an agreement in the family, how is the family going to move forward at all in the right direction? Come out of there. Come on. All that infighting. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curses, family line curses that keep them fighting with each other all the time. Come on. All that impatience, too. You come out. People want it now. People want it right now. We microwave people. Come out. That impatient spirit. Come out. Come out. All that impatience. Come on. All the way out. Go. The Bible said by faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. So we command that impatient spirit to go right now. Impatience. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. A lot of people never see that plan, the full plan of God, the best plan of God, because they're so impatient they just run out ahead of God and do their own thing. Come out of there. That spirit of impatience. We break that curse of impatience. Command the spirit of impatience. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, 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 out. All the way out. Come out. All the way out. All that impatient spirit, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go. Impatience, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, go, go. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out. Come out of there. Go all the way out. All the way, that profanity come out, thinking cuss words in your mind and maybe saying them, come out, all that profanity come out, profanity, go, violent spirits, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. It, most likely everybody picked up some violent spirits from just watching violence on the television. Throughout their lifetime, those who have watched TV have a violent spirit. So we command those violent spirits to go in Jesus' name, because a lot of what's on the movies and television is nothing but violence. So we command those violent spirits to come out right now. Violence, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name right now. Come out, 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 out. All the way out. All those violent spirits. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. All those spirits of violence. All those spirits of violence picked up through watching violence all the time. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. You know, it's a violent, humanity is a violent group of people. Look at the wars. We've been having wars for centuries, and always fighting nations against nations and peoples against peoples, and there's so much violence and crime going on in people. These are spirits that have been released by the devil to torment the human race because of sin. It has the right to be there. Come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. All that violence. Come out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Violence. Come out, rage and violence and road rage. Come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 road rage. Come out in Jesus' name and rage. Come out, all those rage spirits. Come up out of there. I bind you, I bind you, I break your hold. Come out in Jesus' name. Road rage, rage spirits. Come out. Spirits of blowing up in rage. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Explosive temper. Come out, come out, come out. Explosive temper, anger, rage. Explosive temper. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Out, 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 out. Up and out of explosive temper. temper, rage, come out, come out, come out, anger, come out, 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 keep going. The blood of Jesus is against you. You've got to go all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, and Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep going out. All the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Keep going. Go, 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 go. Go, go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up and out of there. All the way. All the way. All the way. The blood of Jesus. All the way out. All the way. Revenge spirits. Go to revenge. Come out, 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 come out. Keep going, go all the way out, all that revenge, wanting to get even. Come out, come out, come out. Hatred for men, hatred for women, you come out. Come out, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of hatred for men. Can't live with them, can't live without them. Same with women, hatred for women, can't live with them, can't live without them. Come out, all that hatred for women, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. People have subtle hatreds for the opposite sex, and yet they like the opposite, but they hate them too at the same time. Come out of there, go, 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 keep going. All that hatred for men, hatred for women, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Hatred for authority, come out. Hatred for authority, you got to go. Don't want to really yield to God's authority even. Come out. Hatred for authority, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now, loose them, loose them, loose them, and let them go. All the way out, keep moving. Keep moving out. Keep moving up and out. All the way out. All the way out, keep moving. All the karaboshur rabasuri basikara rabasura. Raboroboshurabara. In Jesus' name, all the way out. Yeah, of course there are people who, you know, the spirits have got them blinded to the need for deliverance, right? And so what you got, you just got to bind those spirits that are blinding them. Find those religious spirits that say that they don't need any deliverance, right? And bind those religious spirits and bind any other spirits that are there saying that, oh, you don't have any demons. You don't need any deliverance. Yeah, because the demons don't want their presence to be known. So they go tell people stuff like that. But, you know, just stand against those spirits. And you don't have to, you know, necessarily convince them as much as you have to deal with the spirits that are behind that. And sure, you know, they could come to, you know, I know myself, I didn't believe deliverance when I first heard about it. You know, somebody gave me a book way back and I threw it away because I said, a Christian can't have a demon, you know. But hey, I fasted and prayed. There were areas of my life that I just could not overcome. And even with fasting and praying and reading the word all the time, and finally, I said, maybe, you know, and I took a second look at deliverance, and then I began to get into it and been in it for, you know, a long time now, 40 years. And I realized that, you know, Christians do need deliverance. And used to in the beginning, I thought, well, just some Christians need deliverance. And the longer I walked in it, then I began to think most Christians need deliverance. And the longer we walked in, I know every Christian needs deliverance. There's not anybody who doesn't need deliverance, you know. They're only blinded by their own demons if they think they don't need any. You know, everybody needs deliverance. It's the children's bread. That's what the Bible calls it. So if it belongs to the children, ought to be using it. So, yeah, I would just be binding those spirits that have blinded them until they can begin to see. I bind that spirit of blindness. I bind that those spirits that are operating in this person, and they'll get stirred up, and they won't like that. But that's certainly one thing that can be done, certainly. Yeah, so then if they've had suicide attempts, you know they have a spirit of suicide. You know they have a death wish. You know there's something going on in there. And so, yeah, might be binding that suicide, too, when you're around them. If they're a friend of yours or there's somebody you're in relationship with, be binding those spirits of suicide and commanding them to stop. so that they can't kill the person, right? We don't want them to die before salvation. They don't want them to die before they get right with the Lord, certainly. So, amen. And this is war, obviously. You know, it's always warfare, folks. I mean, listen, if people are deceived, they got, you know, it's warfare to break through that deception, okay? So we pray for that person who's had 3 suicide attempts right now as we close out today. Father, we pray for their salvation. We pray for them to recognize the need for deliverance. We recognize how much they need to get free. And Lord, we pray their eyes be open. We bind those spirits that have been blinding their eyes to the need for deliverance. In Jesus' name, you be muzzled, you be bound, you be stopped. And in the name of Jesus, send the angels to bind them up right now and open, let the eyes of this person be open by the power of the Holy Spirit to see their need for help, Lord, from heaven, that they get delivered from these spirits, Father. And Lord, we seal the deliverance that is taking place tonight. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this time of deliverance. Thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. Thank you for spiritual breakthroughs, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. And thank you for working in our lives mightily. We thank you that we could give thanks, Lord, at Thanksgiving and every day of our lives, Father. And we give you the glory for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't feel that they're Christians, you know, because demons make them feel that they're not Christians. Make them feel they've committed the unpardonable sin. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, and they live on the edge all the time, you know, because they have so much condemnation and guilt about things. But anyway, don't give up. And we prayed here tonight, and just keep finding those spirits and saying their eyes be open and they cry out for help. And listen, sometimes you could do deliverance by stealth. Just go in there and start telling that suicide to leave in Jesus' name. Or, you know, you don't have to tell them you're doing deliverance. You go in there and start telling that death thing going on there to go and stop tormenting them and come out of there in the name of Jesus, you know. And, you know, you could go in and help them out that way. I mean, you don't want them to die. I want people to live and have every opportunity to be filled with the plans of the Lord and do them. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, we've run out of time here again. So, Lord bless y'all. Y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. And we will go ahead and say goodnight now. The OasisCommunityChurch.com, the website, theoasis1@localnet.com, if you'd like to email me. Good night.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. A thousand shall fall at thy side, shall not come nigh thee. It 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 shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. No evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
He shall give his angels charge over thee,
to keep thee in all thy ways.
They shall bear thee up in their hands,
and thou dash thy foot against the stone. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It shall not come nigh thee. 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 It shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee.
Hey, amen. It shall not come nigh thee. Listen, again. Don't be afraid to keep anointing your house with oil. If you've got some problem going on in your home, you got to keep anointing that place with oil. Sometimes it takes a number of times to really possess your house or your apartment or wherever you live, whatever you live in. Because sometimes a lot of stuff is going on in the place and permission has been given by the enemy to be there. So I want to encourage you not to quit, if necessary, anointing that place with oil that you live in. And also, you can, if you have lost ones in the family, go anoint their pillow with oil or something, just a dab of oil. You don't have to soak it or anything obvious. If you lost a husband or lost wife and not saved, anoint their pillow with oil. There's so much power and so many miracles we could talk about that have been done by the anointing with oil, anointing places, persons, and things with oil. And seeing God do things there. Not to mention all the houses that we've cleaned up for people and gone through and told them what needs to go and get out of their house so there'd be more peace in the place, So there'd be, whatever's going on. We've had people with bangings on the wall. We've had people with things manifesting and moving around the house and different things over the years that had to go in and deal with that stuff in their home, So, yeah, it's important to sanctify, set apart, and consecrate your home. Amen? Because your home is your castle, right? It's where you should have the most peace at, is being at home. That's where you do your Bible study, your prayer time, your personal time with God, your praises and personal worship unto the Lord. Amen. So Keep anointing it, and until you really get the breakthroughs there that you need to have there, and you have the peace there, and sometimes the devil pulls some surprises on you if you don't if you don't consecrate the place to Jesus. We've seen that happen too, so be aware. It's not just a ritual; it's a powerful undertaking what you're doing there when you do that. It's not just going through the motions. No, you're doing something in the spirit. You're defeating the enemy. You're doing something to take ground away from them. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, what we do in the spirit, see, first and foremost, and they're visible manifestations in the physical realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? We step over and take command, because the devil, you know, they're not visible to us most of the time. I mean, I've seen them plenty of times in deliverance, but different demons, not necessarily the devil. I don't think I've ever seen the devil himself. We're not that important. But the point is, because he's not omnipresent, right? So he can't be everywhere at once. But we certainly have seen demons before. Seen them come out of people, seen them attached to people, and so we know that they're real, and we're affecting them, and what we're doing from the place of our authority in the spirit, and it's taking a physical effect on things, see? So don't be afraid to be bold spiritually with what you're doing in warfare, because you will have effects. You will. And bless you guys, too, and pray you have a blessed Thanksgiving. If you spend it with your family, may it be great with them, and may it be a peaceful time. And if you spend it, you know, with just some friends or other relatives, you know, maybe the Lord would just give you a great time. Amen. We just pray that for you in the name of Jesus. And we all have much to thank God for. If you spend it even alone, the Lord is there with you. You're never alone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So realize his presence will be there. And y'all are precious to him, and he loves you so much, and he's not going to ever abandon you. That's for sure. He promised that he wouldn't. Okay? So we belong to him. We've been born again. So he's never going to leave us or forsake us. He promised us that. So praise the Lord for that. So y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving week next week, and we will see you back next Friday night. So good night.